Morning. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to the show called A Progressive Life. It's good to be back on, and we're in new digs, as I think Jeff Ruth mentioned. The new digs are in the Ohio Health Building, which is right across from Busby Park, you know, right across from where the mural is, and right there on the corner of Center and Prospect, and right in the heart of the Popcorn Festival. And I'm looking forward to having a young man on. He's much younger than I am, Tom Danner. He'll be on later this after this show, probably in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about things that are going on in the Popcorn Festival. It's a little different this year, and so we, you know, we're going to discuss things like the parade route and things that have happened that have caused people to say good and people say bad things about the new edition of the Popcorn Festival. So we're going to be try to be real fair about this, because the Popcorn Festival is very close to my heart. When I came here, came to Ohio, let's see, back in 83, my goodness, it's been a long time. I came from Valparaiso, Indiana, where they have another popcorn festival. And the reason why the Popcorn Festival started in Indiana, in Valparaiso, was that was the home of Orville Redenbacher. And Orville actually went to my dad's church. And my wife, Carol Makovsky, was her name. Dr. Makovsky was her father, and he was Orville's doctor in Marion or in Valparaiso. I forgot where I lived. Anyway, and so. The Popcorn Festival has always been close to my heart, and I was on the committee for about 5 years, I guess. And I just got real involved in it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed drinking the shot of ouzo at the beginning of the event. I also enjoyed. I pretty much was a utility player. I told him, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I helped with the 5K for a while. I helped with the getting the beauty pageant queens around to all the sponsors. Now, that was no chore at all. I'm sure you can understand that. For an old man to be driving around six or seven beautiful young ladies who were charming as all get out. They were just pleasant, and really enjoyed it. And I made a few friends. I still see some of them when I come down to the Popcorn Festival, and we get reacquainted. That was one of the things I did. I also got involved. I was a judge 1 year. That was great fun. You know, you judged the talent, and you judged, I guess, the look of the participant. I was not invited back for that. I must have been terrible at it, but I did enjoy that. The company that I worked for, Marion Community Credit Union, was I made sure they stayed a sponsor of it, and they still are to this day. And the person that took my place, Daniel Bradshaw, is very active in the Popcorn Festival. He's the head of something or other. I don't know what. But anyway, that's kind of made it close to my heart. I remember several of the bands that came here, and I enjoyed all of them. But my favorite, and still one of my favorite groups, was Boyz II Men. I just love their semi-a cappella singing. I call it semi-a cappella because most of the recordings are pretty well endowed with the musical instruments. But I just absolutely loved them, and I had the opportunity several times to go up on stage and accept the award for being part of the festival. And part of the swag or part of the good stuff that you got for being a sponsor is you got to meet the talent. And it was really exciting. I met all of them, but meeting Boys to Men, and there were only three of them by the time they came here. One of them had passed away, unfortunately. But the opportunity to meet them was one of the highlights of my life. And I'm looking forward to this year's edition of the Popcorn Festival. I'm absolutely dumbfounded with our new studio, and I'm not quite sure which mic I'm going to put Tom Danner on. Tom is in the studio, and I think you're on my number three. Can you say it?
All I know is that it's yellow, which is good. That's popcorn yellow.
There you go. That's why we put you on it. How you doing, Tom? Good. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know, Glenn. Good to see you. Good to be here.
I'm excited for this new edition, and there are so many rumors rolling around on the about this year's edition of the Popcorn Festival. I thought we'd have you come up and kind of set people straight and also excite people about the new Popcorn Festival. We're going to have a new parade route. Let's just start with the first thing.
Okay,
first.
Okay, sure.
The parade route is going to be on Thursday. Is that correct?
Yep, parade is always on Thursday, and it starts at 6 o'clock kickoff. Just a couple changes to the parade that has caused some
consternation.
Yeah, that's a good name. That's a good word, boy. That's a dollar. That's a dollar word.
My wife gave me that.
Did she?
Yeah.
I don't see. Nobody gives me those cool words.
Don't hang out with my wife. You'll get more than you want.
You know, here's the thing, Glenn. And I, year after year, the thing that we have heard the most about the parade is that they like it, but it's too long. 2 hours, 2.5 hours, too long.
If you're in it, it's long. I'll tell you.
Well, and if you're in it and you're marching or walking, I mean, physically, it was extremely long. It was
how long was it?
Big parade. Well,
about 2 miles.
Oh, it had to have been.
Yeah.
A mile and a half, 2 miles. I mean, it was pretty good. And like the on Prospect Street, you know how it kind of would go uphill there, over by Rotary Towers. Is that
yeah, you go downhill first?
You go downhill first, and then you have to march uphill.
Yeah.
So we were trying to address a lot of the complaints. Of course, the other thing is city safety. Although they've never really complained, it makes it difficult for them if they have a major call that they have to get out, you know, it to have all those roads blocked all the way around the fire department stuff.
Well, that's a major thoroughfare area. Yeah.
It is, and it makes it tough there. So when we looked at where we had a new parade chair, Don Wolf, and a lot of people know Don. I mean, he was at Harding High School for years. Don does just beautiful theater backdrops and stage props and decorative things he's done for the Palace Theater forever for summer musicals and everything else. Very talented man, and I've known Don for a long, long time. And Don said, you know, he said, I'll do the parade, but he says, I really want to try to make some changes. He says, I've been involved with marching band with Harding for years in that parade, and he said, there's just some things that need to be changed. And we said, well, okay, let's take a look at all the complaints we've had over the years, and let's bring them all together and see if we can fix them. Now, obviously, anytime you make a change, some people are not going to be happy, but there's other people that are very happy. So
do understand that people are going to complain no matter what.
I didn't want to say it, but the thing is, we are really trying to always make things better. We're not trying to just monkey up the mess, you know. So the parade route starts about where it always starts, kind of down there by where the Jersey is,
Forest Lawn
Boulevard, yeah. Right in there,
because
right. You need to have a lot of room to stage the whole thing,
yes,
and that's
do.
About where the parade's going to start.
Yes.
It's going to go all the way down center like it always has. It's going to turn left on State Street like it always has.
Like it has,
yep. Yeah. Now, the difference is, it's not going to turn right on Church.
Mm-hmm.
it's going to turn left on Church.
All and you people that plan on setting up your chairs down there, yeah, don't do it.
Yeah. It's going to go left on Church, and then it's going to go up, you know, up past Beam Ministry, which was the old YMCA and there, and then it's going to go down to probably about, what is that? It's not, I want to say Vine Street. Yeah, Vine Street. Yeah. So it's going to go down to about Vine Street and where it splits off, and that's where it's going to kind of disband.
Okay.
The route is definitely shorter, but Don's vision... And the whole vision is a starting point to try to look towards next year, mm-hmm, because next year is Marion County 200th celebration.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
And Don wants to go to every municipality in Marion County and say, we want you to do a float talking about what importance your municipality had to the 200-year celebration of Marion County. Mm-hmm. So he is hoping to have just a ton of floats next year, all period floats celebrating the 200 years.
So Charlie and I can be on a float just to take care of the 200 years.
Yeah, yeah, you can authenticate.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of where Don was going. He wanted to make some changes so that next year's parade would have more floats, more people walking, lots more colors, excitement, interaction with the viewers, the parade viewers. And so this year is kind of his year with the growing pains of making a few little changes.
Yeah, we hear a lot of grumbling. Where do they think they're going to get? Where do they think they're going to get all these floats? And I do have a call. If you don't mind me taking it,
sure.
We'll take a call from. Hello, listener. All right. If you would like to call back, go ahead and call back. Yeah, that's kind of the grumbling that I heard initially. Where are they going to get all these floats? When I was working with the credit union, I was kind of in charge of the float, and we would hire a company that would come in and build the base,
yeah,
and then we'd put stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
And that worked out okay, but it just got to be I was the only person putting the stuff on the top, and it was kind of expensive. So that's why we cut it out. Now, how do you think you're going to be able to get more people to do that?
Well, Don actually has a company that he's been working with, a float company, and Don offered up a couple training sessions that people could plug into, where they could learn about inexpensive ways to decorate a float. And Don believed that most organizations could put together a nice looking float for no more than $200.
Wow, that's reasonable.
And he had supply companies already lined up that were going to, and I think they have used this supply company to come up with things to decorate the floats. He had a number of people that plugged into those meetings, and he kind of gave, because Don, like I said, he's a very creative guy. So, I mean, he knew in his head what he wants things to look like, and he was trying to make suggestions. Some people took advantage of that. Some didn't. Some of the ones that didn't actually already had very beautiful floats, and that's fine. I mean, he was just offering it up, yeah, saying, hey, look, you know, this is what I'd like to have. Last year, we think we had about 7 floats. This year, he thinks he has 15. So we've doubled the number of floats.
Well, you get tired of seeing cars and motorcycles only.
Trucks and wreckers. A few is okay, but after you've seen 20 of them go by, you're kind of like, really, what is this? So,
right.
And I understand, and I'm not putting anybody down. We appreciate everybody that has always been involved with the parade. Don just was giving suggestions for different things that they might be able to do to promote their business.
Yeah, I think it sounds very reasonable to, and I've told a lot of people who have come to me and grumbled and said, you know, it's going to not be good this year. Well, I said, give them a year chance to, and then tell me that it's not going to be good, because you can't know unless you've seen, and nobody's seen.
Don is doing things a little different. I know he gets tired. I call him every day, and I go, well, how many units do you have? And he goes, well, Tom, he says, I'm not counting units. He says, I'm doing zones. Okay. Well, I said, give me an idea. He says, well, he says, a zone could be one float, or he says it could be 10 units of different size, you know, small cars, little cars, maybe a truck, you know, it could be a band, you know. He said they're zones that he says I have set up, and he says right now he says I've got over 75 zones. Wow. So I mean, I asked him, I said, how long do you think the parade is going to last? And he says, you know, probably an hour and a half. Okay, well, so we trimmed a half hour off of it, but you know, it still sounds like it's going to be a pretty good sized parade. So, well,
one of the problems we always had is it just didn't flow.
A lot of gaps, and that was the biggest thing. And when the first meeting I sat down with Don, I said, Don, I said, you got to get the gaps under control.
Yeah.
And he says, that's why I'm making these changes, because he says I think this is going to eliminate the gaps.
Yeah. Now, it used to be that they had a rule that you couldn't throw anything from the floats, and that kind of was a good idea because then you kept the kids from running and out in front of you. But it got to the point where people started ignoring that.
Well, so it's my understanding, in my last conversation with Don, is that people are allowed to hand things out, but they can't throw them at people.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So,
but then you have to have people walking next to the float. You can't have them leaning down and handing them off the float.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't have little kids running out into the street. Correct.
Yeah, that was always frightening to watch.
I think you're going to see a lot more people walking. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons we had to shorten it, because mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, you and I could never have walked that entire old parade route. Well, we wouldn't have made it.
I hate to tell you this, but I did it twice.
You did it twice?
Yeah, and I didn't like it a lot.
You're a better man than I, because I don't think I couldn't do it.
Yeah, well,
and I mean, it's
a long way.
It for anybody that's been in the parade, I mean, it's a long parade.
Yeah.
But so we're going to have more people walking. We're going to have, like I said, more floats. He's hoping for more colors, more activity, more excitement. I guess we just have to wait and find out.
Okay, I'm gonna let the elephant in the room get loose here. You got a little criticism, and I'm not going to bring up the name, but there was one group of people that were involved in the parade that got upset that the price of the parade went from $20 to $40. Now, I'm going to tell you personally, that seems cheap to me, $40. So I was always shocked we only had to pay $20. I felt guilty of only paying $20. That's why we got involved in other things. But how are we handling problems like that? I mean, complaints like that.
Here's the thing, and the Marion Popcorn Festival, our budget is over, I'll just say it's over $200,000.
Yeah.
You know, the entertainment alone is, you know, $80,000-$90,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have overtime for the police. We have cleanup. I mean, and some of this stuff is donated, but some of it's not. We have supplies. We have hose. We have electric. We had to drop a new electric pole in at one location. It was $3,000. I mean, there's expense involved in this venture.
Yep.
It is not cheap.
I was on the committee for about 5 years or something like that, and I remember that
looking at that budget.
Oh my goodness, I was always shocked. And the talent, you can understand why that's so high.
Yeah.
But everything else costs money, and people forget that.
Yeah.
It's not free.
we as far back as I can remember, was 2004 is when we started charging for to be in the parade. And I think it was maybe $10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And then I think it went up to $20.
It stayed there for a long time.
It stayed at $20 for probably more than 10 years.
Yeah.
We had to bump it up. And
that's not high.
But see, that $40 is not for every single. I mean, if you've got two or three units, like. The one thing about the Shriners, you know, and it's kind of odd because we don't have any record of the Shriners ever contacting us and asking us anything about being in the parade. So I don't know where that information came from, because Don would have worked something out with the Shriners. They've been in it for years. So yeah. So that whole, you know, that whole Facebook rant that went off, I don't know what that was. where the facts came from on that, but we believe that a lot of that really just wasn't true.
Well, that's what Facebook does.
Yeah, yeah, perpetuates the negative very well.
Easily,
So like for instance, let's say the Shriners had 8 vehicles that they wanted to have in there, they only pay $40. It's not $40 a vehicle.
Yeah, I've told a lot of people that it would be like $2 or $3 per participant.
And I'm sure we could have found a sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
That probably would have paid that if we'd have known that was going to be an issue. I can tell you that, like I said, the parade is still going to be an hour and a half long. So there's a lot of people that must have felt that the $40 was still worth the investment to be involved.
Yeah.
I'm always sorry to hear that people want to criticize what we're doing, but there again, I guess what we would like to suggest is that if anybody has a better idea or better way to do it, come out and join the Marion Popcorn Festival. We'll put you on the parade committee, and you can very easily put in your opinion, and we'll look at it and see if there's a better way of doing it.
One of the things I found when I was on the committee, and I might have been one of the people that I'm criticizing, but a lot of the people were there just for the week of the Popcorn Festival. They didn't really want to do a whole lot during the year. And if you're going to volunteer to do what's needed, I think.
Well, I can tell you, because I've been to at least 2 meetings a month for 12 months. I can tell you that if you're going to be engaged and you're going to do it. You know, understand that you don't have to come to every single meeting, but we sure would like to see your face, your shining face, at most of them, because that's the only way when topics come up, we want to have good discussion, and people disagree sometimes. That's great. Let's talk about it. Let's see if we can come up with a better way to do things. You know, that's the way organizations are supposed to work, but it is difficult when you go through 12 months of meetings and then people show up the last month and then they want to complain. You know, it's just not real helpful.
Well, now let's continue on. We got the parade off. Everything's going to be wonderful.
We're
all
going to
enjoy
bet.
It.
Yep.
I won't be there with my I used to fire off confetti, and I'm not going to be there, so I'm sorry, kids. But anyway, talk to me about about the talent that we're going to have for the 3 nights on the main stage.
So, you know, and like I said, this is always a very difficult thing to do. It is to pull off this main stage. When you look back at the roster over the years, and I'm talking about, you go all the way back to the Helen Reddys and the Pointer Sisters and the Four Tops and the Temptations, and then you go up into the Styx and REO Speedwagon and Foreigner, and then you go up to Tom Jones and, you know, Willie Nelson and you know, everybody that we have had on
Boys
that
to Men. You forgot my
Boys
favorite.
To Men, which was one of the biggest crowds that we've had in the last few years. I mean, everybody that it's a very difficult thing to do, because, and you know, people say, well, why don't you get, you know, let me just give you an example. There's a band called Greta Van Fleet, and a lot of your listeners will know who that is, a lot of them won't, but they're a younger band that sound like Led Zeppelin. And we could have gotten Greta Van Fleet last year for the Marion Popcorn Festival for $30,000, $30,000 or $35,000. They became unavailable at the last minute. We had 2 or 3 other names on the books, and we decided to go with the Pop Evil. Greta Van Fleet this year, when I looked, we start booking entertainment back in December, so in a few months we will start looking at entertainment for next year. Greta Van Fleet this year was over $150,000. Wow. Same band. They had a couple hits.
Who's the booker?
We've been using a variety of attractions.
I mean the local person that's in charge of.
So we have an entertainment committee.
Yeah, who's the head of the entertainment?
The head of the entertainment committee this year was Scott Shalver.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, now it used to be Darrell.
Darrell is the first vice president, so technically the entertainment falls under his jurisdiction.
Well, he used to tell me, we'd love to. I'd say, why don't we get this? We'd love to have them, but they cost $250,000.
Yeah, right.
And I was always shocked that we were able to get who we got for $30,000.
Well, not only in when you think that we do all the entertainment on that main stage, we offer it up free to the Marion community.
Everybody else around.
Yeah, I mean, you can go up and watch that entertainment and not have to pay a penny. You can stand there and watch it. And I mean, you know, in many cases, you can get like $100 view. Yeah. Of the main stage, that you can get that close
and not pay $8 for a beer
and not even have to pay for the beer, which I don't think is $8.
No,
but that, all right, I think it's only $4. But
I'm talking about some of the baseball games in there.
True. Yeah. You are true.
It's cheap beer compared to that.
But no, I mean, you can just go up there and watch the entertainment. When you consider that we have been able to do that every year for probably under $80,000, plus production, but the stage alone is, I'm just going to throw out some numbers. The stage alone is 10 grand. Production is probably 10 grand. You know, the entertainment, we try to stay at, 70 grand, 80 grand. So, I mean, $100,000, boom, right now. And, that money has to come from somewhere, and we get it from our vendors. We get it from our sponsors. I mean, if we quit getting sponsors, believe me, it'd be very difficult to put on this thing. Yeah. So, but the street vendors, the sponsors, of course, then there's income that comes in from the beer sales. There's income that comes in from the rides. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts financially, but
it all goes back into Marion, doesn't it?
It all goes. Well, see, and that's where the argument is, and I understand the argument. Some of the argument is, some of that money immediately leaves town. Well, not all of it does.
Well, the vendors are going to take a profit out of it.
Yeah, not all of it does, because a lot of those vendors are buying supplies locally. They're either going to GFS or they're getting them from our local Coke or Pepsi distributors.
Plus they're paying their fee.
Yeah, they're getting their ice, they're paying their fees. I mean, anybody that needs to get a vendor's license, that money goes into the tax base. I mean, I know years ago we sat down and we looked to see how much money the Popcorn Festival generates for Marion. I think we need to probably do that again. But, between the hotels and, believe it or not, I mean, all of our vendors that are going to be in town today are probably going to go somewhere and eat. Mm-hmm. And they normally hit our local restaurants. Yeah. A lot of them stay in our local hotels.
Yeah, they're not going to eat their own fried food.
No, no. And they can't eat each other's because they aren't open yet. So it does generate money for our community.
Well, it generates interest in our community. That's what I always believed in. And, I mean, the Marion Community Credit Union, when I was there, I doubt that we gained members, but we gained a knowledge that we were there, and that's why I enjoyed sponsoring.
I can remember, and I've been involved with the festival. We are in our 39th year, and I've been involved with it for 39 years. And I can remember being at the very first meeting and listening to people like Mark Schwarzkopf and Mike Nicolosi and some of the others that were involved with the original planning committees, Mayor Ron Malone and Dick Reese and some of those people. And I can remember them talking about, at that time we had a downtown that was in real bad shape. A lot of the business had left to go out to the malls and this and that. And I can remember the vision of, we need to do something to bring attention to Marion. and we want to do a street festival. There were a lot of places doing street festivals at that time or starting them up. Bucyrus, of course, had already done one for many, many, many years. And we used Bucyrus as one of our planning tools. I mean, we went and met with them and asked them, how do you do this? How do you do that? Where do you get this? Where do you get that? You know, and they got us involved with the Ohio Festival and Events Association. And I can tell you that when the Marion Popcorn Festival goes to that annual meeting, we are one of the largest festivals in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, I believe that, absolutely. And I think we should all be proud.
I know that those of us that are involved are very proud. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we don't do a good enough job letting the community know how big this event is. I think sometimes we get focused on the few that complain, but you know, for me, Glenn, I don't focus on the complainers. I take a look to see on Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 6 o'clock how many people are in the streets.
Yeah.
And if I see that number really start to dwindle, then I start to really think we've got a problem. But when I see that those numbers are strong, and even with the crappy weather we had last year, we still had a great attendance, and we didn't, I don't think we lost any of our vendors. I'll tell you what, if it would have been any year that I'd have been a concessionaire going, I'm going to find another festival, it would have been after last year's. But we're completely sold out. All the craft is all sold out. I mean, the whole event is sold out.
That is fantastic. I remember one year, and I'm absolutely positive you remember the year. It was about 8 years ago, and it rained completely. Saturday was gone.
Oh,
and it was horrible.
I'm a past president. I'm director of the festival this year, but I am the only president of the Marion Popcorn Festival that ever shut the festival down.
Yeah, I remember
because of rain.
Yeah,
and rain was so deep in the streets.
Yeah.
it was dangerous.
Well, I went down by myself because nobody else was closing down the little stage down by the palace.
Yeah.
And I started helping them find a way to close it down because nobody knew we were closed, but we were closed by then.
Yeah.
That was a crazy week. So anyway, the group, I've had people complain that they didn't know who the groups are. And I pointed out to them, you get groups that are either on the way up or they're on the way down or they're kind of drifting off into their own thing. You can't afford to get the ones that are at the top of their game. But Hinder, I pulled it up and I said to my 15-year-old granddaughter, I said, have you ever heard of Hinder? Oh, yeah, I remember them. And they were from a while back. And my son, who was 40 something or other, also knew them. So the people, and then I listened to them and I really quite enjoyed them. I'm not a big country fan, but Hinder I did enjoy.
Frankie Valli, I'm just reading here. Rolling Stone selected them as one of the top 25 best country and American albums of 2016.
Wow. That's cool.
They are, you know, Hinder is a platinum recording artist. Yeah. I mean, it's a little different genre than you and I probably grew up with.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter because we do look at box scores. We look to see. I'm just looking here with Hinder. Hinder's debut album came out in 2005. So I mean that has been a while ago, but they had a number six. Their album climbed to number six on the Billboard 200. They were the second top rock album of the year.
What year was
this?
That?
Was Hinder? Well, this was the year that they debuted back in 2005. Okay.
Interesting voice. Lead singer.
Yeah, Lips of an Angel, which peaked the top 10 across Billboard single charts, included a number one hit on their top 40 pop chart.
Wow.
So, I mean,
You can hear all those. All you have to do is put in Hinder's name and go. And matter of fact, Lips of an Angel is right there, and you hit click, and you can listen to it, and you can see how good they really are.
Like you said, we can't go out and we can't go out and book the $250,000 acts. We can't do it.
Yep.
I mean, we have to look for, you know, $30,000-$40,000 top acts, and unfortunately, you're either looking at oldie acts, and you know we did almost every oldie act we can think of, and every once in a while but you got to understand that as those $150,000 to $250,000 acts expand, that means that every festival and fair in Ohio is trying to book the $30,000-$40,000 acts. So they book
summer.
They book up too fast. You've only got, I mean, you've got what, 27 weeks in. 27 weeks in summer, and they everybody in August, everybody has fairs and festivals.
Absolutely.
So that's why we start in December. And sometimes we've tried to get Ted Nugent here a number of years, mm-hmm. and he always, for whatever reason, says no. And I don't blame him personally. It's normally his booking agent, and it normally has to do with routing.
Yep.
They're looking for a way for him to route, because I imagine Ted isn't out hitting it every week anymore. But if he's going to go out, he wants to do three dates, and he wants them to route correctly. Marion, Ohio may not be in the routing path.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that when I was with the Army Field Band, and they still have a five route thing. Every year is a different. You might be on route one this year, next year will be route two, and they've come here twice, but only because they were routed through the area.
Yeah. And some years we've gotten very lucky, and some years we haven't gotten lucky, and we are very excited about the entertainment this year. Frankie Ballard is a great act. Hinder's going to be a great act. Our tribute act on Thursday night is the number one Metallica tribute act in the country, mm-hmm. called the Four Horsemen. And they're opening up, the band that's opening up for them on Thursday is a band out of Upper Sandusky called Grape Jam, and they're just a lot of fun.
Are they going to open for them at the Popcorn Festival?
On the main stage,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, on Thursday night.
Basically a local group.
Yeah, they are, and they're just a lot of fun. They're great bunch of people. They're a lot of them are involved with the Upper Sandusky Young Professional Group, and they're just fun.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a big concert fan just because of the crowds, but I can tell you can come to this concert and not feel that you're trapped amongst.
Yeah,
15,000 people.
You can go in and listen to a couple songs. If you want to move on, go ahead.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. And you can hear them at my house, which is a mile away.
I'm sure.
So, I mean, and I don't mind that. I kind of enjoy that. But the fact that it's free to Marion and the surrounding, actually anybody that wants to show up.
That has always been our goal. You know, sometimes some of the questions I get, well, what does the Popcorn Festival do to benefit Marion? Well, the Popcorn Festival is not designed to be a fundraising arm mm-hmm. for anybody or anything. That's just not the way it was originally designed. Mm-hmm. Now, could it be changed in the future? I suppose that it could. But you got to remember that we need $150,000 to $175,000 entertainment budget, not a $90,000 entertainment budget.
Yeah.
So if we figure out a way to make an extra 50, 60, 70 grand, we're probably going to throw it into entertainment, because that's what everybody wants, is the free entertainment. That's what everybody, that's what most people come uptown for.
I've heard complaints before about the groups, and I've never heard anybody leave there grumbling. They come and they really enjoy it.
Correct. You're right. And I've heard grumblings also. At the end of the day, everybody's happy. So.
Everybody is happy. And we should all be proud of everything you and the committee does. What can people do? Are there things that people can still do to help out or plan for next year to help out?
You know, we would always love to have more volunteers. You know, if we counted every single head, it would not surprise me that throughout the year we don't have 1,000 people that are helping put this event together.
Mm-hmm.
and it could be anything from parade to working, helping setting up the entertainment to
don't expect to get rich though.
No, it's volunteer and but we have some things that we were not able to do this year because we didn't have the right people to do them. The popcorn bicycle tour we did not do. We did not do the popcorn run. We didn't do that. We didn't do the popcorn golf outing.
Are you open to still do that if you get enough people?
Probably not now, but next year, absolutely.
That's what I meant.
Absolutely. We would love to have some people step forward and say, you know, I know how to do a bicycle tour. I know how to do a fun run. I know how to do a golf tournament. And we would say, okay, what do you need from us?
Yeah.
You know, let's do it.
Well, I think Marianites should all be privileged to work on the crew. I may get back into it. I really did enjoy my time there. How do people park when they're coming down for the night stuff?
It's very interesting because like I said, I've been working this festival for almost 40 years, and it'll be next year we'll be 40. I've never had a problem finding a place to park.
Well, I haven't either, but I get complaints about it.
But you have to work at it a little bit. I mean, your favorite parking spot might be gone, but there are others. All the churches uptown have parking spaces, and they do not charge an arm and a leg. Emmanuel Lutheran Church,
or something like that.
Nazarene Church, the Methodist Church. I mean, there are places to park, and when I have bus tours that call up and say, where do we park? Well, you know. This is where I would suggest, you know, try the churches first, because they normally have people that are there. They're watching, you know, they're making sure nobody's messing with your car, and their prices are not unreasonable. But the other thing is, I've also found granted, you're not gonna if you're gonna wait to come to the festival at 8 o'clock at night. Yeah,
you might not.
But I mean, if you come to the festival say at 4:30 or 5. I have never had a problem pulling deep down inside the festival and finding a place to park.
Well, you can also park on the side streets, not too far from downtown, and walk
maybe
three or four blocks.
Maybe even a block and a half.
Yeah.
It just depends on what street you're able to get to.
Yeah.
Now, parade night is a little more difficult because we literally we're spread out all the way down to Forest Lawn Boulevard and beyond. But that might be a little difficult. But you know, if you're really worried about parking, then come early. You know, come at lunchtime. We open at 11 o'clock. You know, come at 11 and eat food and look around and do what you want to do and then leave. And you won't have a hard time finding a place to park.
Do me a favor, though, everybody out there. The one thing that always scares me is on parade day, it's a mess getting away from the parade after the parade's over. Try to think of other people and be careful because there are lots of little kiddos that are running around. Please be very careful. We got about 2 minutes to go. You got anything you want to tell the crowd about how good you've been this year or will be?
You know, the Marion Popcorn Festival is about Marion. It's about the community of Marion. We also want to embrace the downtown. We want to work with the downtown. We need to know how we can do that and what we need to do to be able to embrace the development that's going on in downtown Marion. We want to be a good partner. I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to promote our community. I think people overall enjoy the Marion Popcorn Festival. It is unique in that, like I said, it's one of the largest festivals in the state, with free entertainment. Nobody does that.
Yeah, especially relatively big name entertainment. Yeah.
So, I hope everybody comes out. We work very hard to come up with a product that we can be proud of, and we hope that the Marion community is proud of it at the end of the day.
One of my biggest and proudest moments of my association with the Popcorn Festival is the year that I was able to get Orville Redenbacher's daughter to come and be the Grand Marshal of the parade. And she still, and her daughter, still contact me every year. You need us back. I was really proud of that. And I'm proud that I was lucky enough to come from Valparaiso, where Orville was born, or not born. He was born in Brazil, and that's where they have the other
popcorn festival.
But we really appreciate everything you guys do and everything that's going on, and I hope that people will hold their criticism in abeyance until after they get through this change. This is a kind of a changeover year, so best of luck to you, Tom.
We are always open to suggestions, and we're always open to people helping and volunteering. But thanks, Glenn. We appreciate you inviting us in today.
No problem. Good luck this weekend. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and you're listening on WGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I figured, he's never asked anybody that question.
I wouldn't even know.